Today's broadcast of Bagels and Blessings has been previously recorded at an earlier time. Shalom Chaverim, that's Hebrew for hello, friends, and Shabbat Shalom, that's Hebrew for Sabbath peace. This is Ethel Chadwick. Welcome to another week of Bagels and Blessings. Today you're going to hear a fascinating story of a man and his wife who walked by faith and encountered some amazing miracles. My interview with Rabbi Peter Oliveira is coming up later. Stay tuned. Bagels and Blessings is a ministry of Congregation Shema Yisrael. We are a Messianic congregation made up of Jews and Gentiles who believe that Jesus, or Yeshua, is the promised Messiah. Our services contain Jewish liturgy and Davidic dancing, and we celebrate the Feasts of Israel. We meet at 250 Edgewood Avenue in Brighton, and our services are Saturday mornings at 10 a.m. Please join us for worship. And while you are in the building, be sure to check out the Fig Tree Messianic Bookstore and Gift Shop. Now open Mondays from 6 to 8 p.m., Tuesdays by appointment, Wednesdays from 3 to 8 p.m., Thursdays from 3 to 6 p.m., and up to 30 minutes after services on Saturdays. You can call the Fig Tree Bookstore at 585-484-7775. The Fig Tree Bookstore and Gift Shop is a great place for books, CDs, cards, jewelry, and so much more. So be sure to check them out when you visit Congregation Shema Yisrael. And now, when you make a purchase at the Fig Tree Bookstore, you can fill out a raffle ticket. Those names will be drawn for a prize from Bagels and Blessings. So those of you in the Rochester area, be sure to visit Congregation Shema Yisrael in the Fig Tree Bookstore and fill out your ticket for a chance to win a prize from Bagels and Blessings. Shalom, Yerushalayim. Shabbat shalom, Shabbat shalom, Shabbat, 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 Shabbat shalom, Shabbat shalom, Shabbat shalom.
This is Jonathan Sattel, and you are listening to Bagels and Blessings.
I don't think I'll ever get tired of hearing the wonderful voice of Jonathan Sattel. Did you notice at the end of that song, it said, "Pray for the peace of Jerusalem," and that comes right from Psalm 122, verse 6. Well, I am so glad that you are listening to the program today. We're going to have some great music, and you're going to love the interview with Rabbi Peter Oliveira. Next, here's some music from Joshua Aaron.
I hear the rolling Yeah, I'll
I'd like to thank Excellent Air Heating and Cooling for sponsoring Bagels and Blessings. Give them a call today at 585-889-7840. They're a family-owned and operated business. Their prices are fantastic. They will take care of your air conditioner in the summer and your furnace in the winter. Give them a call today because they love the Lord and they are excellent. Excellent Air Heating and Cooling, 585-889-7840. According to Isaiah 54:17, no weapon formed against us will prosper. Here's Joel Chernoff.
Though the nations rage against you, O Jerusalem, know this, that the Lord your God is with you. For does not the prophet Isaiah say, no weapon formed against you shall prosper? So I say unto you, fear not, O Jerusalem. Fear not, Tel Aviv. Fear not, Haifa and Tiberias. Fear not, sons of David. For the Lord your God is with you. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. Thus saith the Lord. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. But by my spirit, says the Lord.
This is Joel Chernoff, and you're listening to Bagels and Blessings.
Next up, a song called Ashuv Elecha, or Coming Back to You, by Yaron Cherniak.
Thank you.
So I know you'd love the translation of that, and I'm going to tell you right now. Here are the words in English. Show me the way to return to you, even if it will be hard, to be back in your arms, the way as it is at the end of life. So I am coming back to give you my life. Every corner of my heart, my soul, there you are for me, within me. You were there with me. So I am coming back to give you my life. Many ways I have tried, and in all of them I have gone astray. Many voices I have heard, but only one voice is burning inside me. So I am coming back to give you my life. A beautiful song about Shuva, turning around, turning back to the Lord. Perhaps you listening to the program today have gone astray. Let today be the day that you come back to your Abba Father who loves you, who stands waiting with open arms. This is Ethel Chadwick. You're listening to Bagels and Blessings. Stay tuned for my interview with Rabbi Peter Olivera. By the time this airs, we would have already experienced the wonderful worship of Ted Pierce, because he was at our service this morning, June 17th. Here is a song that he has on his newest collection called Ancient Gates, and this is called Adon Olam.
Adon Olam, Asher Melech, Beterem Kol, Gitzim Nivra, Le'ed Na'asa, V'chefzo Kol, Azai Melech, Shimon Nechoa.
Shalom, y'all. This is Ted Pierce coming from Texas. Don't change that dial. You are listening to my fabulous friend Ethel Chadwick on Bagels and Blessings. Tune in every week for the best in radio. Thank you.
So that cool song, Adon Olam, actually comes from a prayer that is sung as part of liturgy in synagogues all over the world. And here are the words. It means eternal master who reigned supreme before any creation was created. When it was finished according to his will, then king his name was proclaimed to be. When this our world shall be no more, and majesty he shall still reign. And he was, and he is, and he will be in glory. Alone is he, there is no second, without division or ally, without beginning, without end. To him is the power and sovereignty. He is my God, my living redeemer, rock of my affliction in time of trouble. He is my banner and refuge, filling my cup the day I call. Into his hand I commit my spirit when I sleep and I awake. And with my spirit, my body, the Lord is with me. I will not fear. Praise the Lord. Well, that was certainly an amazing arrangement from Ted Pierce. Next, here's a word about Bagels and Blessings from Earl Schillinger.
Bagels and Blessings is a ministry of Shema Yisrael Messianic Congregation. Your tax-deductible contributions will help keep this program on the air. Make checks out to Shema Yisrael, that's S-H-E-M-A-Y-I-S-R-A-E-L, and please put Bagels and Blessings on the memo portion of your check. Send your contributions to Bagels and Blessings, Post Office Box 192, Scottsville, New York, 14546-0192. And you're invited to come and experience Messianic worship in person, Saturday mornings at 10 a.m. 250 Edgewood Avenue in Brighton.
We have time for one more song before my interview with Rabbi Peter Oliveira. Here is Deborah Kleine and Turno, Pour Out Your Spirit. Yes, Lord.
Pour out your spirit, Lord, on your people. Pour out your spirit, Lord, on your people. Pour out your spirit, Lord, on your people. Let it rain, let it rain. Pour out your mercy, children.
And now here is my exciting interview with Rabbi Peter Oliveira. Rabbi Peter Oliveira, welcome to Bagels and Blessings.
Shalom, shalom.
I am so excited to talk to you. You've been on my radar for such a long time.
That's good.
Yeah. Tell me a little bit about your life growing up. Did you grow up in a Jewish household, and what was that like?
Actually, my upbringing is a little different than Messianic rabbis. I was actually raised in a Christian home. I was raised in Angola, Africa, and it wasn't until I was 30 years of age that I discovered the big family secret that we are descendants of the people of Israel. So I guess in Portugal and in Angola, that was kind of like a taboo, and nobody wanted to kind of say anything. So about four generations prior to me coming into the scene, our heritage was very much wiped out practically. So anyway, but at about the age of 30, I started to have, I thought I was kind of losing my mind. I was wondering what's going on with me. And I had these strange attractions to things that I had no idea what even meant, like these horns, these ram horns, and these, coverings with fringes, and not having been raised to even recognize the people of Israel in any way, that was strange to me. And when I found out what was actually happening and why, it was kind of a big awakening for me. So that's that.
Well, how did you find out about your Jewish roots?
Well, I happen to have an aunt from my dad's side who, she's actually a teacher in Angola, and she just happened to be vacationing in the United States. I hadn't seen her since I was probably about 6 or 7 years old, and so it was a neat thing. And I just asked her out of curiosity if we had any Jewish ancestry, and she kind of laughed, and she said, oh, I guess your parents haven't told you, And apparently she has a pretty well recorded background in our family. We're not only descendants of Israel, but we're actually connected to the line of Aaron. So anyway, so that's how I found out.
Wow. And so, Rabbi Peter, how did your life change after that?
Well, it changed because I kind of returned back to my Hebrew roots, and then began to see the Messiah in a way I had never seen him before. Just a lot fuller, richer, deeper. An understanding of, you know, the Old Testament just really coming alive, and seeing Messiah through it in a way I hadn't seen before. So it just really was a transforming thing for me.
And you eventually became a Messianic rabbi. Now, how did that happen?
Yeah, I served at Beit Tekiya. There's a little congregation, Messianic congregation, that met in Foxborough, Massachusetts, and served for 7 years. And after serving for 7 years, we were sent out, Lisa and I, my wife and I, were sent out with a blessing to start our first congregation, which was Mishkan David, and it's still doing really well. And in fact, Rabbi Brian and Sue are actually the leaders of that congregation now. And yeah, that's what happened.
Great. Well, you had an interesting journey. Tell me a little bit about Haiti.
Yeah, so about 7 years ago, we were called to go to Haiti. We were taking care of a little orphanage there, and it was really hard to do as we were leading Mishkan David at the same time. So we actually got a boat, and my family and I, we sailed to Haiti, and there we were able to tend to the needs of the children, because we were more firsthand. Our cost of living went way down living in a boat. And so that helped us to be able to really help the children. And it was amazing. Not only did we really thrive with the orphanage, but actually are now overseers of four Messianic congregations in Haiti. So it's been quite an interesting journey.
They have Messianic congregations in Haiti?
Yeah, yeah. We're overseers of four of them. You know, they're little groups. I mean, they have maybe something like 20 people to the 30 people who gather. But, you know, if there's two or more gathered, I guess that's all we need.
Amen. Well, let's talk a little bit about this journey. I mean, the average person wouldn't know how to get into a boat and sail across the world to Haiti. How did you even know how to do that?
Well, I've always, sailing has always been dear to my heart. I had a grandfather, although I never met him, but he was, he had a 3-mast Portuguese schooner, and he just absolutely loved sailing. And apparently that was passed on to me in my DNA. So since I was very little, all I ever did when I was a child was I would make little sailboats. And I actually learned to sail before I got into a boat, because I used to make sailboats and I knew how they worked. And so as I grew up, that just kind of became part of my existence. You know, I just really love sailing. And yeah, it was a you know, blue water sailing. I mean, you know, you sail out of international waters, and you can't call, you know, a Coast Guard to come and help you if you need help. So it was a pretty neat journey, you know, going with the family, sailing all the way to Haiti. And you know, we have the benefit of GPS technology nowadays, so we didn't have to do it the way the old timers did it, you know.
Wow. Well, I think I've seen too many movies, Rabbi Peter, because all I can, you know, envision are storms and waves and sharks. And I mean, did you encounter any bad weather on the way, or?
We happened to have left in a really bad time. We left in one of the worst winters. There were several times we actually had to be, I think we were in Staten Island at the time, and we were frozen in for about 8 days because it was so cold. We encountered just about everything you can imagine. We had 20-foot, you know, waves dealing with that, and just the cold going down. And it was quite a journey, actually, so we actually had to travel all the way down to somewhere in Steinhatchee, which is inside the panhandle of Florida, because from there we actually knew another missionary captain who sail to Haiti all the time. So basically we sail down to Florida, and then we meet up with somebody so we could sail together. It didn't really work out that way. He ended up leaving before we left, so we ended up on our own anyway. But the journey from the time we left Rhode Island to the time we actually arrived in Haiti, believe it or not, was exactly 1 year. That's how just so many different things that we ran into, and difficulties and setbacks. And so it was quite an adventure.
Wow. I have to ask you, so what did God teach you through this whole experience?
Well, one of the things that became clear is that he really wanted us to embark for, you know, like a better word, but I guess it's appropriate, on a journey of really having to learn to truly trust. And one of the things that it perplexed me is I wanted to sell our home. We wanted to sell our home and have some funds to kind of, you know, have, you know, just so that we could go there, because we went on a one-way trip ticket. I was convinced we were going to go there to stay. And anyway, long story short, everything that happened to us from the time we left, everything that we had put aside, everything that we could have hoped for to go back to, was completely wiped out. And when we had absolutely nothing, we went into Haiti with absolutely zero. And I heard Father say, you cannot minister to my people in Haiti when you have something to go back to, because my people in Haiti have nothing to go back to. They only have me. So I have to teach you what it's like to just have me. And so that, the journey and the storms and the impossible situations that we went through was really preparation for us to minister in Haiti and to do what Father called us to do.
Amazing, amazing. I'm assuming you both can speak a little French or whatever they speak there?
Creole? A little bit, yeah, Creole. We can get by. You know, we can get some things at the market and have some little conversations with the people. Yeah, it's...
Wow.
You know, people of Haiti are really dear to our heart, dear our family.
And how long were you there, and how did you know when it was time to go back?
Well, we were there for about 3 years, and I was bewildered when I heard the Spirit of the Lord impress in my heart that now it was time to come back to the United States. It was almost more difficult to hear that than to hear that I was going to Haiti, because, you know, in Haiti, like, we survived on an average of I don't know, maybe $700 a month. You know, with, and I had my whole family there. So coming back to the United States was like, what, how on earth am I going to survive? Because now I have nothing. We have to start all over again. And so we're there for about 3 years, and the Lord called us to come back. We returned, and just very interesting, you know, for people who still who think that the Father doesn't talk to us, he still does. We can hear him really well. I remember him saying that he was going to bring us to Connecticut, and even told me the area we were going to go. He mentioned Washington, Connecticut, and so we came to Connecticut. We had absolutely nothing. We were staying at someone's home. And I just started walking up and down the streets looking for churches and knocking on doors and asking pastors if, you know, it'd be okay for us to use a little space to start a new congregation here in Connecticut. So that's how we ended up back in Connecticut.
And I'm assuming one of those pastors said yes?
Yeah, we were knocking everywhere, but the pastor who said yes, I actually thought that he mistook me for somebody else, because he was so like friendly and welcoming, and I thought, gee, he must think I'm somebody else, because everybody pretty much just shut the doors. But it's amazing, the pastor who said yes was a pastor of one of the oldest churches here. It's an iconic church here. It's the First Congregational Church of Litchfield, which is a very historic church. The old members of this church are people who were connected with the Constitution. They were connected with, for example, Lyman Beecher was one of the pastors here. He's the father of the lady who wrote Uncle Tom's Cabin.
Wow.
So the history here is crazy, just like supernatural. During the war, during the Revolutionary War, they used the basement of this church to be the ammo dump, so that when the British came, they wouldn't know where all the weapons and all the gunpowder was. And this is where they kept it for New England. And it's just a really neat story. And well, that's where we are now.
And tell me about your congregation.
So our congregation is Mishkan Nahamu, which, you know, is a congregation or the tent of comfort. And so we were here, and we led the congregation for about a year. And a year later, the pastor who was leading the church ended up leaving. And now I was really concerned about that. I didn't want to have another one of those situations like in Joseph's day, where a new Pharaoh came in and didn't recognize where the people of Israel were in Egypt. And so I was praying for Father to send a pastor that would understand why we're here and that would love us. And lo and behold, the steering committee from the church was looking for a pastor. They approached me and they asked me, would you consider being our pastor? And I said, I said, absolutely not. I'm not a pastor. I wouldn't even know what to do. So I said, no. And they asked me, I said, well, will you pray about it? And I figured, well, I'm not going to pray about it, you know. So I
said, good
sure.
Night.
Yeah, I said, sure, I'll pray. But I knew the answer would be no. There's no way I was going to do this. And so anyway, I pray. And in my spirit, I hear the Spirit of the Lord saying, take the position because I've brought you here for something greater than you understand. And that really threw me for a loop because I had no idea what to do. I to us, Sundays has always been a little bit like our family rest day because on Shabbat, you know, we're very busy tending to the congregation and all. So I mentioned it to Lisa, hoping she would say, honey, absolutely not. I can't, you know, that would have been my out because, you know, I said, you know, if Lisa's not on board, there's no way I'm going to put the family through that. Amazingly, she said, yeah, sure, that's fine. And I'm like, honey, what is wrong with you? Why are you say that? So anyway, so apparently it was indeed something more than I could understand. And I accepted the position. And so we are now, fourth year leading Mishkan Hamu and third year leading the First Congregational Church of Israel. So we lead both congregations and the people kind of mingle. Some people come on Shabbat, some people from Shabbat come on Sunday, and it's a divine conundrum, but it's amazing how it's all working out.
He's a rabbi. He's a pastor. He's a pastor rabbi.
That's right.
So is it challenging writing all these sermons?
No, not it isn't challenging at all because I don't write any sermons. And a long time ago, Father said, you know what? If you prepare, you're preparing for yourself. If you are vulnerable, then I will speak and I will put the words in your heart. So for years, I've learned to just show up and let the Spirit of the Lord lead. And so in a way, it almost feels like cheating because I just show up and the Father does the rest.
He just sort of downloads it right to you, right then and there.
Very much so. Yeah, very much so.
Well, I like that, but what happens if you refer to a certain scripture? I mean, how does that work?
I do that all the time. And so we add we live stream everything we do. And so when I go back and I post it, I listen to it and I insert scriptures so people can see what I'm referring to. And so, you know, it's interesting, you know, when Messiah would be sharing, he would just say, it is written. Like he didn't give them like a specific, and people didn't even have, you know, the ability to check it out. I mean, very few people even had the scriptures, you know. So it's amazing. People oftentimes are Googling as I'm speaking it because sometimes they're like, no, I got to check this on my own here, you know. So it's amazing, you know, just sharing just from the heart is such a it's vulnerable, but it's such a tender and precious thing. And you know, and apparently the Father must be pleased because here we are almost 5 years now and leading two congregations that are thriving. We're not talking about little congregations. These are congregations that are thriving.
Praise the Lord. I'm envisioning a book. A title is Preach the Way Yeshua Preached. I think people, well, actually, your whole story needs to be put in a book. I don't know if you thought about it, but what an incredible journey. I mean, you're the first person I've ever talked to that, you know, sailed over to another country and lived there. And I mean, I think that's pretty amazing.
Yeah. Well, it has been pretty amazing. You know, sometimes we sit back and we're like, what in the world is the Father doing here? What, you know, because it's not like we planned any of it. You know, so it's vulnerable.
Wow. I do have to put a plug in for your daughter-in-law. The listeners have heard music from Zemir Levav and some singles from Kira Oliveira. Well, if you caught the same last name, Kira is married to Rabbi Peter's son. What is his name?
Andre.
That's right, Andre. So That's a pretty cool connection right there.
it's a lot of fun, and you know, we love to minister together. We our Shabbat service is very, very unique. It's very spontaneous praise and worship. The music never stops.
Mm.
The Torah portion is weaved in through it, and which is really amazing. And it's really quite an experience. And Kara's amazing. She's the praise and worship leader at Mishkan Hamu, and so yeah, it's an amazing blend, and it's hard to describe. You kind of have to experience it.
Well, that leads me to my next question. So someone happens to be traveling through Connecticut and they want to visit. Tell us how to find you, where you're located exactly, or if there's a website or whatever.
Yeah, there's a website both for Mishkan Nahamu and also a website for the First Congregational Church of Litchfield. The easiest way to find us is through the church connection, because it's such an iconic church. Like if you Google like most photographed church in Connecticut, I think even in New England, the First Congregational Church of Litchfield shows up. It's an iconic church, and like you can't miss this place. It's so historic that if you know. And so if you come on Saturday, we usually gather around. I think about a quarter of 11 ish, but if you come on a Sunday, which is also a very unique experience, they're very punctual. So that starts at 10:30 on the dot with a bell ringing and everything on a clock tower.
Wow. So. What an exciting life. I'm just thrilled to talk to you. You're probably one of the most unique guests I've had in 25 years on the radio.
Well, that's exciting.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. How would you like us to be praying for you and your family or your ministry? Anything?
The main thing, that the only thing I ever care about is that we put a smile on the Father's face. And, you know, Ethel, you said in the beginning, you know, when we're praying, at the beginning, you said, may the words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart be pleasing to you. And you know, at the end of the day, that's the only thing I really care about. You know, that everything we do brings our Father glory, and the world can see the manifestation of his Son. I don't know what I need other than just the continued prayers and reminder that we're here to minister to our Heavenly Father.
Amen. Rabbi Peter, this has been so wonderful. It's been inspiring and exciting. And thank you so much for being my guest on Bagels and Blessings.
It's my pleasure. Blessings. Blessings to the bagels and the blessings.
Thanks. Give my love to Lisa. I think she might remember me.
I sure will.
All right. Well, beautiful. We'll talk soon. Shalom, shalom.
Shalom, shalom.
Well, that was certainly different, wasn't it? What a fun interview with Rabbi Peter Oliveira. This is Ethel Chadwick. Thank you so much for listening to Bagels and Blessings. Well, I think I have time for a quick song. Let me see what I can find.
If you can't share the Lord with a friend, where will you be in the end? If you're scared to mention his name, if you hide your head in shame, you're gonna go down where it's really hot. But you've got a choice, like it or not. So spread that good old news. Yeshua paid our debts. Tell your mom and your teachers. You can even tell your pets. Remember that he loves us all, no matter what we do. Yeshua, the Messiah, will always pull you through. So spread that good old news. Yeshua paid our debts. Tell your mom and your teachers. Tell your pets. Remember that he loves us all, no matter what we do. Yeshua, the Messiah, will always pull you through. Yeshua, the Messiah, will always pull you through. Yeshua, the Messiah, will always pull you through.
Yivarechech Adonai Vayismorecha Yair Adonai Panavalecha Vikunecha Yisadonai Panavalecha Vyasem lecha Shalom.
Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. This is Ethel Chadwick saying Shalom Alechem, peace be with you. Remember, every day of your life is an opportunity to be a blessing to someone. Thank you so much for listening to Bagels and Blessings. Shalom.